Court will proceed to the sixth case, Bellum versus the National Futures Association. Mr. Bellum.
Good morning, Your Honor, Counsel. May it please the Court. Your Honor, my name is John Bellum. I am representing myself in this matter. The crux of this case is the NFA, the National Futures Association, is seeking to extend its reach to compel me to arbitrate a customer claim when I was not a registered member of the NFA and when I never consented to arbitrate. Reading Judge Conlon's opinion, the NFA has the ability to pull this off because under the Federal Arbitration Act, the Federal Arbitration Act does not allow an individual to enjoin this type of action. The Federal Arbitration Act would prevent someone forcing an individual in a lawsuit to compel them to arbitrate. If an award is entered, the Federal Arbitration Act could prevent the enforcement of the award absent the individual's consent to arbitrate. So under the district court's reading of the statute and the Federal Arbitration Act, there's a hole that allows this to happen. Now the reading of that statute gives no concern to any constitutional provisions, especially a violation of Article 3. The statute and the rules promulgated up there under don't state that arbitration against a non-registered individual or an employee of a brokerage firm is mandatory. It merely states that it's voluntary as to the customer. I'm aware of no case where an individual has been subject to arbitration without some form of consent, either a party to an arbitration agreement, becoming a registered member of an exchange such as Gelderman, becoming a registered associated person of an organization such as the NFA, where through the registration process, and in order to do things conferred upon that individual by becoming registered, the individual agrees to be bound by the bylaws of an association. The district court relied on Gelderman to rule that the NFA Arbitration Act, that it's proper that it can seek, the NFA can have jurisdiction over an individual who hasn't consented to that jurisdiction. The district court ignored the fact that Gelderman and the cases cited in Gelderman were all cases where the court had found that an individual had consented to that arbitration by an affirmative act of registering. I think the only case that is even close is Thomas versus Union Carbide, but where again, where when the plaintiff in that case decided to participate in this federal bidding process, if I remember the facts right, the court found that that was consent to arbitration because the process itself had an arbitration provision in it. So, Your Honor, very simply, there's no consent here to arbitrate, and I think that the district court's reading of Gelderman was in error, and I'd like to leave you with a comment from Lincoln, and obviously it's not the one about an attorney representing himself, but what Lincoln once said is, no man is good enough to govern another man without the other's consent, and I think that's exactly what the NFA is trying to do here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Roach?
May it please the court. I have three main points in favor of affirmance. First, the question of statutory construction presented by Mr. Bellum today and in his brief is one that this court decided definitively in 1987 in the Gelderman case. The customer, not the member or the employee, has the option of participating in arbitration. Second, nothing has changed since Gelderman to warrant this court revisiting the analysis in Gelderman, holding that when a customer chooses arbitration, the member or the employee does not have a choice. And finally, compelling Mr. Bellum as an employee of an NFA member to arbitrate the customer's claim is authorized by the Commodities Exchange Act and the regulation, and it is not inconsistent with Article 3. Gelderman is controlling here, and it's controlling because in that case, this court was faced with interpreting language that is identical to the language that the NFA relies on to have Mr. Bellum participate in NFA arbitration. In that case, this court decided that the voluntary language in the provision of the Commodities Exchange Act that applies to arbitration involving customers of a contract market, that voluntary language only applies to the customer's choice, not to the defendant or the member's choice. If the customer elects arbitration, the member must participate. Gelderman decided that issue. Congress has several times since Gelderman had a chance to fix the statute if the court got it wrong, and it hasn't fixed it. The question then that Mr. Bellum relies on today to distinguish Gelderman is his argument that he is an employee and he is not a member and he is not a registered person or an associated person, and therefore he has not voluntarily consented to participate in arbitration for the NFA. This too is resolved by statutory construction. In Section 17 of the Commodities Exchange Act, which is the section on which the NFA relies, Congress uses the term registered persons, associated persons, and employee. Congress knows how to make particular provisions of the Exchange Act only apply to registered persons or to associated persons. And in this instance, Congress elected to use the word employee as somebody that must participate in arbitration. If they wanted to make it limited to a registered person under the Act, Congress could have done so. Congress didn't do so, and in every single chance that Congress has gone back into the statute to amend it, they have not changed that. Employee still stands as the plain language in the statute that we rely on. A customer that elects arbitration can force the employee of a member to participate in the arbitration because the statute says so. As to Article 3, in our brief we argue as to why that question is not before this court, that it was not presented to Judge Conlon and it shouldn't be before this court. But I'll address it because Mr. Bellum addressed it in his oral argument. The operative Supreme Court decision is Shore, the CFTC versus Shore. In that case, the United States Supreme Court said that an express waiver of an Article III form is not required to be an effective waiver. What does that mean? It means that there can be other indicia of waiver that can be viewed as a voluntary consent or a voluntary waiver of an Article III form. In this case, we have that. Mr. Bellum is employed by an NFA member that expressly consented to be bound by the NFA rules, the NFA Arbitration Act, and who expressly consented to have its employees also be bound by the Arbitration Act. Mr. Bellum chose to work for the member. Mr. Bellum chose to work in the regulated industry. Mr. Bellum chose to be employed by LFG and to be subject to LFG's rules. I will also direct the court to a case that answers one of Mr. Bellum's arguments this morning. The case of Lee versus Chica. We cite it in our brief. It is a perfect example of a situation where a court, the Eighth Circuit, has found an employee to be bound by an agreement of its employer to arbitrate. It is an example, and the cases cited in there are legion, of where a where consent is deemed to have been given when an employer enters into an arbitration agreement. Those cases are applicable here. Finally, I will just comment on what I think are the good reasons why the NFA, the CFTC, and Congress has written the statute and the regulations such that the employee and the employer can be compelled to arbitrate. The right that Congress granted to customers is to have an expeditious ADR proceeding. One of the ways they did that was to allow the customer to have one forum in which his dispute will be decided. The customer can only be insured of one forum if he can have the employer and the employee there. If Mr. Bielam could force the claim against him on the same facts involving the same trading losses to be settled in another court rather than the NFA's arbitration forum, the customer is then left with the choice of either having two trials on the same merits in two different forums or to abandon his arbitration demand and lose his right for arbitration under the Act and go to the court that Mr. Bielam would rather litigate this matter. This policy analysis that I just went through for the court is the exact same policy analysis that the United States Supreme Court went through in the Shore case when it said that forcing counterclaims to be litigated in the arbitration forum is not an impermissible deprivation of an Article III forum. Because in that instance, just as here, the court recognized the policy decision of Congress to have efficient litigation of customer disputes in the commodities arena. And if the court has no questions, I'll sit down.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Mr. Rose. Mr. Bielam?
Very briefly, Your Honors. In all the cases cited by counsel, there was an agreement to arbitrate. The record here shows no agreement to arbitrate. In Lee, there was a separate agreement. In Shore, the plaintiff chose the arbitration forum, so of course the counterclaim against the plaintiff is proper there. So again, I don't think, in Gelderman, there was consent by virtue of the agreement incorporated in the membership registration. So again, I don't think that those cases can be extended this far out.
Would you agree that you didn't raise the Article III issue below?
Yes, I would agree to that, Your Honor. But on the other hand, I think under AMCAS, it's proper for the court to consider it this time.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all counsel. The court will take the case under advisement and stand in recess.